All right, everyone. This is redletterchristians.org. Three things the church probably didn't teach you about sex. This is by Andrew Lee, June 28, 2021. This is Church Life, Family, Parenting in General. But before I begin, I wanted to explain that I'm not promoting biblical sexuality. In fact, I'm going to make this inclusive for both faith-based and the secular, because both can learn from the sexual issues that will be discussed in this article. Okay, so I'm going to make it personal to me, so hopefully it could be personal to you as well. The church doesn't talk about sex enough, and by talk about sex, I mean really talk about sex, not just warn young people against premarital sex, quote random bits of scripture from 1 Corinthians, or reference God's design for procreation and marriage. I want to say that I think of premarital sex as a human right. I also think of marital sex as a human right. You have the right to have premarital sex. You also have the right not to have premarital sex. I'm not going to tell you what to do sexually. That is totally your decision. And because I'm a human rights individual, my job is not to be a moralist. My job is to say whatever it is that you say and do, follow the golden rule. And whatever it is, in whatever ways you live your life, make sure they do not interfere with the freedoms of others. That's my job to promote, all right? And so if you want to procreate, you have the right to do that. If you do not want to procreate, you have the right not to do that as well. If you want to be married, that is your right. If you don't want to be married, that's your right too, okay? So, premarital sex, human right. Marital sex, human right. Procreation, human right. Childlessness, human right. Marriage, human right. Singleness, human right. They're all rights that you have to decide what is truly right for you, and nobody can dictate that but yourself, okay? What I mean is actually get into the nitty-gritty of how Christians experience sex, what people of faith could expect attempting intercourse for the first time, how sexual desire fits the lives of people in and out of marriage. Here's what I want to say about this. I don't want to apply this just to Christians and people of faith, because you have plenty of non-Christians attempting intercourse for the first time, trying to figure out what to expect, as well as, you know, how sexual desire fits for people who aren't married as well as those who are. So I want this to be universal, okay? The church has spent so much of its energy warning against the biblical definition of quote-unquote sexual sin among high school youth groups. This has left many young adults entering into marriage somewhat in the dark about and hesitant, wary even, to fully embrace the fullness of a sexual relationship. A lot of people have experienced that. Whether you're Christian or unChristian, we've been taught things by our culture, by religion, even by sexual abusers, even by those who think that your manhood or womanhood, or according to hyper-masculine people, is defined by how many of the as they would call opposite sex, how many can you have sexually to prove that you're somebody? We've all been taught those kind of things. And what a lot of people like me, a lot of us are doing is we're rejecting those messages and saying, no, we want to be ethical about sex. We want to be sexually ethical. We don't want to be a sexual moralist, but we want to be true to ourselves sexually without harm, you know, because we've been taught reckless sexuality, sexually reckless, and a lot of us do not want to have that kind of self-destruct behavior in our lives. In fact, we're doing our best to be sexually and just overall healthy people. But why does this have to be? If God is good all the time, if God created sex, which is good as in God's inherent goodness, not good as in stellar all the time, then shouldn't we feel comfortable talking about sex more often than we do in our faith communities? Pause. If you're faith-based, you believe that. If you're secular, you can say, you know, humans are good, right? Being human is good, is the best way to put it. Being human is good all the time. And if you're secular, you'll say, and if humans created sex, which is good as in, as you know, the inherent goodness of being human, not good and stuff all the time, then shouldn't we feel comfortable talking about sex more often than often we do in our secular community? So I try to say that both perspectives are valid, all right? Jesus said very little about sex in the New Testament, but Jesus also cared holistically about people's lives. You know, you can care holistically about people's lives and be non-Christian, too. I just want to clarify that, because my audience for the podcast is faith-based people, secular people, so I have to share both perspectives. And human rights person, I can't just share one perspective. That would be inhumane. Okay. He cared about just and righteous living that was free from shame. Now, how would I put it in a secular way? You can care about integrity that is free from shame. All right? There we go. If Christianity pronounces that sex is a part of God's plan, human sexuality is integral, how human beings bear the image of God to the world, shouldn't the church be talking about sex, sexual attraction, sexual desire, sexual orientation, sexual abuse, at least as much as mainstream media and pop culture? Okay, here's the thing. Here is how you can say it from a secular perspective. If being human is pronouncing that sex is a part of the human plan, and that human sexuality is integral to how human beings bear the image of wholeness to the world, shouldn't we as a global society be talking about sex, sexual attraction, sexual desire, sexual orientation, sexual abuse, at least as much as mainstream media and pop culture? All right. And so this person says, I just got married this past month. Praise God for my beautiful, lovely wife. Praise God for all the challenges, difficulties we're going to navigate together. Pause. Here's how you say it from a secular perspective. Whether casual or committed, I'm just grateful for my partner and or partners. And despite the challenges, difficulties of just life, we are learning and growing together as people. Here we go. There are three things we've been learning about sex that the church never really talked about growing up. Make it secular, Antonio. Here are three things we've been learning about sex that a lot of our families, adults, and just people around us never really talked about growing up. All right. Okay, one, sex can be hard. No one tells you that sex can be hard, but it can be. Like learning any new skill, particularly ones that involve a partner or partners, because I got to include casual, not just committed. It can take work, effort, and sometimes intentional practice for what sometimes feels like a pretty steep learning curve. It can require an almost embarrassing amount of communication for two human bodies, or more than two human bodies, but that includes the group sex habits now, to coordinate the physical positions and motions that constitute intercourse. One of the many things left unsaid about sex in our Christian context in high school sex education class growing up, make it secular. One of the many things left unsaid about sex in our non-Christian contexts, and just school sex education classes growing up, because you have school sex education classes not just in high school too. You have middle school, you got junior high, you know what I'm saying? It takes effort and persistence to figure out what works and what doesn't for both individuals or more than both individuals when it comes to sex. On a physical and practical level, it's comfortable or relaxing for one individual or more than one individual might be difficult for the other and or others. Arousal and emotional connection are not always given. Giving and receiving pleasure can be riddled with miscommunications, insecurities, and sometimes frustrations. There can also be a lot of brokenness and trauma, even amongst committed couples and casual relationships who have done healing work. Sex can also be emotionally consuming. The cultural perception of sex is always this spontaneous, enthralling passion that culminates in an ecstatic orgasm for both parties, or more than both parties. Real life sex, at least in the beginning, can sound much more like, "So what do we do now?" Or, "Ouch, that kind of hurts." Or, "That's okay, maybe we can try again when we have time." This is another thing we've learned. There could be so many other things that demand a committed couples or casual partnerships' time and energy that sex can sometimes feel exhausting or overwhelming just to initiate, let alone communicate about. Two, sex requires communication. A lot of it. There's planned sex and there's unplanned sex. It's figuring out the physical anatomy of your partner and or partners. There's communicating what feels pleasurable and what feels uncomfortable or painful. It involves asking for what you want and need, listening to your partner and our partners to do the same. Sex requires communication even before entering the bedroom and all the other sexual settings. Between intimacy, physical climax, contraception, comfort, and exploration, among others, sex can encompass many different priorities. Each person of faith and each person of non-faith will also have differing beliefs, attitudes, and expectations towards sex. Here we go. Cultural starting places can also have a big impact. The Asian American church and non-Asian American church, and the global society to include people who are not of faith, seems pretty silent regarding topics like masturbation, condoms and protection, sexual orientation, the realities of sexual abuse. Not many Asian immigrant parents and non-Asian American parents, or just parents of our global society to include the secular, engage their children openly about such taboo, quote unquote, topics, other than warning against premarital sex. Some people are taught that, while other people are taught to have at it, just don't tell me about it, or, hey, you have to at least tell me you're not a virgin and how you're protecting yourself, or sexually do as you please, just don't bring home a baby. You have parents can teach their kids moderation, and then you have oversexed, and then you have undersexed. So there's a spectrum of parents teach their kids about sex. Some don't talk about it, some do talk about it, some are in the middle. Tell me a little bit, but I don't want to hear the rest. Some people are like that. Some parents try to control their kids sexually, some don't. And then there's middle ground of, you hear my sexual morals, but do your own thing. Be your own person. Then you have the whole perhaps influenced by culture emphasis on obedience and honoring the spouse relationship. Some parents teach that and some don't, okay? And the writer says, this is the writer speaking, okay? The writer is speaking this, so I'm not encouraging what the writer is saying. This is the writer's point of view. My parents were Chinese immigrants, and even conversations about dating or puberty felt awkward or coerced. As an Asian American growing up in the church, The lack of vocabulary dialogue around sex and our bodies make for a pretty confusing environment to know how to think about physical intimacy and preparing for my own marriage. Well, here's the truth that I really wanna say. Is that you can experience that kind of thing and be unmarried because you have plenty of people who were taught to lack vocabulary dialogue around sex and the human bodies, and it caused, you know, confusion. And so the whole and struggling with physical intimacy, preparing for, you know, human relationships, that's a universal struggle. And it says, God made our physical bodies good and glorious. I'm gonna make it secular. Our human physical bodies are good and wholesome, right? Jesus compares our bodies to temples of the Holy Spirit. You can say, I'm gonna make this secular. You can compare your body to artwork masterpieces, all right? It's inconceivable to me to think that God would love our physical bodies but stutter over saying words like vagina, clitoris, or penis. Make it secular. It's inconceivable to me that many people would tell us to love our physical bodies but not say direct, honest language such as vagina, clitoris, or penis, or testicle. Alright? Sex requires communication, and the more comfortable we are with our own bodies, the more we can celebrate what God made very good. I'm going to make it secular. Sex requires communication, the more comfortable we are with our own bodies, the more we can celebrate being fully human in terms of physical bodies are very good. Different cultures and communities will approach this communication differently. There is a way we can honor those differences and yet strive for gospel-oriented instruction that glorifies what God intended. Now we make it secular. There's a way we can honor those differences and yet strive for empathy-oriented instruction that promotes the intentionality of being humane. Okay? Number three, sex is about intimacy. Sex is primarily about intimacy, an intimacy that is fully naked and fully unashamed. And fully naked, quote unquote, and yet fully unashamed, quote unquote, is hard to come by, right? It's a lofty goal that biblical wisdom suggests is possible in a committed covenant. I'm gonna make it secular. It's a lofty goal that logic and reason suggest is possible in a casual relationship as well, not just a committed. As a newlywed just at the start of this journey, I know with certainty that this desire for intimacy extends far beyond mere physical nakedness. I'm going to make it secular. Whether you're newlywed or not, we know with certainty that the desire for intimacy extends far beyond mere physical nakedness. All right? Sex is about being naked and vulnerable with your partner and your partners on an emotional level, too. The reason why there's so many hurtful experiences in movies made about this is that it's impossible to separate what God intended to be a package deal. Pause. Make it secular. The reason why there's so many hurtful experiences in movies made about this is that it's impossible to separate the intentionality of being humane when it comes to being a casual package deal or a committed package deal, right? But while sex is hard, sex requires a ton of communication, and our starting place of understanding sex is fallen. The beauty is in the process of learning and growing together. Let me make it secular. But while sex is hard, sex requires a ton of communication, and our starting place of understanding sex is inherently beautiful. We just have to not make it fallen. We have to change our mind. We have to make it wonderful instead of mistreating a person. The person's therefore making it ugly. That's what I mean by falling. It's not inherently falling. It's inherently beautiful. We have to stop making it ugly by being sexually violent and being, you know, sexually just callous. You know what I'm saying? I've never been sexually violent, and I'm not a sexually callous person. I'm just saying I'm just clarifying the language that's being said, all right? And learning, growing together, and enjoying the process, and it's beautiful. That can happen to you whether you're married or unmarried, okay? My wife and I are learning to love and to be loved in our marriage. I'm gonna make it secular. You can love and be loved compassionately and empathically, whether you're casual or committed, okay? We're learning to be totally naked with each other and also be totally unashamed. That can apply for the casual and the committed. It's a reflection of what any Christian's journey for people of all relational statuses should be towards Christ. I'm gonna make this secular. It's a reflection of what our human journeys for people of all relational status should be towards holistic living, okay? So if you're a Christian and you have questions about sex but don't feel like you have a safe place to ask them and be received without judgment, be encouraged to start a conversation with someone, especially if that someone is someone in your church. Make it secular. So if you're a human being and you have questions about sex but don't feel like you have a safe place to ask them and be received without judgment, be encouraged to start a conversation with someone, especially if that someone is someone that you can truly trust. Know that there are others just like you. We're all in the same boat, humans created with sexual desire. That I am not disrespecting asexuals and asexual community when I say that, okay? I'm talking about the majority of people. But you do have some asexuals who do have capacity for sexual desire. It just may not be like the majority of other people in the world. And that's just fine. That is just wonderful, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Jesus took all questions seriously in the Bible. I'm going to make it secular. As human beings, we should take all questions seriously, regardless of our viewpoints and lifestyles. Then it says, maybe he didn't say much about sex during his recorded ministry because of the cultural context of his Jewish audience. Here's what I want to say about that. I'm going to make it secular. Maybe sometimes some people don't say much about sex because of the cultural context of their audience and the culture that they live in. Then it says, but I bet Jesus will have a lot to say and teach us about sex in our current cultural context. I would say, I'm going to make it secular. There are people that back then would probably have a lot to say and try to instruct us about sex in the current cultural context. Because their culture sexually was different than ours today. Okay? So, it's a shame that the only airwaves that seem to circulate the Christian world are debates over the theology of sexuality in the church, scandals involving pastors, religious, and Catholic church controversy around homosexuality and same-sex marriage. The second way for me to put it is, you have scandals and sexual morality topics and sexual debates regarding how to go about sexuality. It's shameful that those airwaves tend to be the most dominant narrative sometimes. And it says, sex has a huge impact on people's daily lives. They try to live out a committed relationship that honors each other, honors God. Let me make it secular. Sex has a huge impact on people's daily lives as they try to live out a healthy relationship, casual or committed, that honors each other and honors self. All right? There's a lot of abuse of sex in the church and outside the church that can lead to incredible hurt and inability to connect with a partner and or partners. For committed Christians in dating relationships within the church, there's often fear or guilt surrounding physical boundaries and how far is too far. Let me make it secular. For people in relationships, whether they are casual or committed, in this case, outside the church, there's often fear or guilt surrounding physical boundaries and wondering how much to go in a way that we're erotic, but we're not engaging in monstrosity either, okay? And it says, In order to encourage our youth and young adults to embrace a godly view of sex and to fight against societal distortion what sex is for, we should open up more conversation that's grounded more in practical practice and abstract theology. I'm going to make it secular. In order to encourage our youth and young adults to embrace a compassionate view of sex and to fight against sexual harm that many of us are taught of what sex is for, we should open up more conversation that's grounded more in practical practice than black and white thinking regarding sex. All right? Let's constantly remind ourselves that sex is natural, sexual desire is a part of God's intention, sexual intercourse is part of God's good design for creation. Make it secular. Let's constantly remind ourselves that sex is natural, sexual desire is part of the intentionality of human beings, and sexual intercourse is a part of the humanly good design for humans. Then it says, however, if the church doesn't actively normalize the questions, anticipations, curiosity surrounding sex relationships, and educate young people in the process of getting ready for sex, that responsibility of education essentially gets ceded over to mainstream culture, that is movies, pop culture, and porn. I'm making secular. However, if the global society doesn't actively normalize the questions, anticipations, and curiosity surrounding sexual relationships and educate young people in the process of getting ready for sex, that responsibility of education essentially gets ceded over to mainstream culture. You know, movies that don't depict ethical sex. Pop culture that doesn't depict ethical sex, and the type of porn that is not ethical porn. All right, there's so much more the church can do to celebrate sexual relationships. Make it secular. There's so much more that the global society can do to celebrate sexual relationships. Sex should be talked about in the church. I'll also say sex should be talked about outside of the church. We won't always get it exactly right, but I personally think it's important to begin starting conversations somewhere. So, I think this is what I want to say. People have the right to engage in faith-based sexual ethics, and people also have the right to engage in secular sexual ethics. I'm not attacking both. I'm just saying, to thine own self be true. And when it comes to the other and their others, be true. All right? So whatever sexually works for you and doesn't work for you, be true. And respect those truths regarding other people as well. So, that's what I really wanted to discuss. This is also what I wanted to say. 26 lessons I learned from leaving organized religion. To be controlled or not to be controlled is the question. Marla J. Alberti, this is Medium.com, June 8, 2020. A man's ethical behavior should be based effectively on sympathy, education, and social ties and needs. No religious bias is necessary. Man would indeed be in a poor way if he had to be restrained by fear of punishment, hope of reward after death. Albert Einstein. Let's make it more modern, shall we? A person, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics, is, you know, their ethical behavior should be based effectually on sympathy, education, and social ties and needs. No religious bias is necessary. People, regardless of where they are when it comes to gender and sexual diversity, would indeed be in a poor way if they had to be restrained by fear of punishment and hope of reward after death. Let me say it again. A person, regardless of where they are in their gender and sexuality diversity spectrum, their ethical behavior should be based effectually on sympathy, education, social ties, and needs, no religious bias necessary. People, regardless of where they are when it comes to gender and sexual diversity, would indeed be in a poor way if they had to be restrained by fear of punishment, hope of reward after death. I modernized Albert Einstein's quote so more people can be properly addressed. That quote gave me chills. Me too. When I say me too, that means I'm agreeing with the author. I was raised in church, so I was too. I sang in the choir, taught Sunday school, ushered, taught other classes, served on multiple committees. I sang in the choir. I did teach Sunday school sometimes. I helped with the hospitality ministry. I served in multiple ministries myself, and I did teach child evangelism fellowship. I did. I know it was exhausting as it sounds. I can relate. As a little girl, I wondered about the people who did not attend church. I wondered what was wrong with them. And I can honestly say, as a little boy, I wondered about the people who did not attend church. I wondered why they didn't go to church, right? As an adult, I'm one of those people who doesn't attend church, and I realize there's nothing wrong with me. To be honest, as an adult, I recently decided to not attend church, and I don't think there's anything wrong with me. That's my feeling. My organized religion journey did not stop as a child. I kept going to church until 2016 when I finally hashtag woke up. My organized religion journey did not stop as a child either. I kept going to church until this year, from when I finally woke up. And now that I'll be moved to my own place, I won't have to be exposed to virtual church, you know. And I'm getting close to that home spot, so I'm gonna really make it official. It was too much control, and my ethical standards were higher than what I was receiving. My plight, exactly. So I defied the odds and lived in the world, as Christians would say. And guess what? I've been happy ever before. Count me in on this too. Those are exactly my realities. I have a deep understanding of who I am, which allows me to see people as people and not their religious choice or sexual identification. She said sexual preference. I don't like to say that. I like to say sexual identification. But overall, I agree with her because those are my realities too. We are spiritual beings that give off vibrations and energy. I agree. We are energy. I agree. I've learned to love life and people as they are and remove the judgment, which is the essence of being hashtag woke. You see things for what they are, respect people's opinions. She is sharing my perspectives. Since I've been away from organized religion, I've learned many things. So have I. Here's an interesting list. Warning, you may laugh at some of these. I bet you I will. Organized religion is really organized. They tell you where to sit, how to serve, and how much to give, amongst other things. If you don't comply, you are doomed. The guilt sets in, manipulation at its finest. I feel that way too. I do. I will also say that organized religion is disorganized religion because why share the global society's silence around sexual abuse and just sex scandals overall? That's the biggest thing that makes organized religion disorganized to me. God or who you believe in loves you regardless. I agree. God, the universe, the source that you believe in, loves you, wants the best for you. I agree. I am one with God. I am too. According to the law of attraction, we are one with God, the universe. He/she/they/it is within us, not above us. I agree. God does not bless marriages more than single people. This is one of the dumbest things I have heard, but it will amaze you at the people who rush to get married because they, quote unquote, think they will be more blessed. Ask yourself, who are you in competition with to be blessed? Thank you, Marla. Thank you. Speaking the truth. Stories in the Bible are just that, stories. Learn a lesson and move on. There are great stories in the Bible. We can learn a lot from them, but everything in the Bible is not standard for today's time. Read it as a story, move on. It, my my point exactly. My point exactly. I would say stories in all religious texts are just that, stories, learn the lessons and move on. They're great stories in all religious texts, and you can learn a lot from them. For everything in all the religious texts are not standard for today's time. Read them as stories and move on. I will also say I decided not to attend and all houses of worship. I just wanted to say that. Okay. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to tithe to be blessed. I could write a separate article on this one. I used to think the more I tithe, the more fortunate I would be. Oh, please. I give my money where I choose. I am no less fortunate than the next person. Again, I am not in a blessings competition, quote unquote, with anyone. That's true. Faith is the same as law of attraction. If you believe you can have it and the feeling of happening, it makes you feel great, you can manifest it in your life. Agreed. I give because I want to, not because God slash the universe will love me more. Humans are born to give. It's in our nature. Hell, you even get a final quote unquote best meal on death row. Your giving status has nothing to do with quote unquote God or who you believe in loving you. Agreed. Men and women submit to each other, not women only submit to men. Another one that deserves an entire article. Relationships are partnerships. Both have to give and take. It should be an agreed mutual benefit. No one should have a mandatory assigned role. Her wisdom makes me happy. Okay. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Forgiveness is for yourself. I have forgiven people in my life because I cannot wish ill will on someone and want greatness in my life. I forgave and moved on, but being your friend, well, that is a negative. I left the relationship for a reason. Hey, agreed. I will also say forgiveness is a choice. You choose to do it, you choose not to do it. Just live a productive life is what I'll add. Okay. Being a wife is a title. The relationship slash commitment is what matters. Being married is the pinnacle in the church. Therefore, so many women want a husband. Having husband in quotations or a wife in quotations is a title in a legal contract. The commitment between the two is what matters. People say they will seal the commitment with marriage, which is great. However, many are sealing for insurance and stimulus packages. Yep, I said it. How someone treats you as a girlfriend or boyfriend, I'm only saying that because, you know, church tends to be traditional, is how they will treat you as a spouse. Just because it adds you to their insurance after marriage doesn't mean their behavior towards you will change. She's speaking truth. All people deserve to be treated fairly, not just Christians. I was taught Christians are the best thing since sliced bread. All cultures are the best thing since sliced bread, well, to them at least. The point is, treat everyone with respect. Don't look down on them because they don't believe in the same things you believe in. Facts and truth. When you have to ask permission from your pastor for anything, you are in bondage. I'll let this one sit. If you are doing this, please think about what you're asking a grown ass person permission to do. Speaking facts and truth. Serving does not get you a bigger house in heaven. I used to serve in capital letters all the time. The more I served, the more blessed I was. Wrong, dead, wrong. It exhausted me. Now I serve with causes that mean something to me and not to be seen or for reward in heaven. Thank you, Marla. Thank you. Pastors are human too, will make mistakes. There's no need to worship them. Thank you, Marla. And just religious leaders are human too, will make mistakes. There's no need to worship them. Exactly, Antonio. Does this one need an explanation? Is it okay to learn about other religions? I have studied different religions. I want to understand what other cultures do. It's okay to expand your mindset and learn about other cultures. You may learn something. Thank you. You can learn and keep your views. You can learn and change your views. Just don't be a hypocrite to yourself and other people. Exactly, self, me. It's okay for people to be LGBTQIA+. They are not, quote unquote, sinning. God slash the universe loves them too. Yes. I stamp my approval on this. This has been a capital letters long standing, quote unquote, sin in the church, which I never understood, me neither. I went along with it because that's what I was taught. Actually, I never went along with it. I just never told church people how I felt until now, thanks to the podcast. Again, we all deserve a chance at the life we want to live, not a life someone says we should live. Thank you. Why do we care who people sleep with anyway? That is a wise question to ask. It's okay. It is okay to live with someone and not be married. I agree. It is only called, quote unquote, shacking the church. You will not be less fortunate. Go ahead and speak, Marla. Facts and truth keep coming out of you. And another one I could write an article on. Look, people, do you have sex and be with whom you want? Yes. Whatever you believe, I'm just answering the question, just being real. Whatever you believe will manifest in your life, so drink the Moscato and live with your food. Or drink whatever you want to drink and live with your boo, or however y'all define your relationship. Look at this situation, hey, no judgments, right? Let human rights, let people be human. Thank you. Love what you said. Here we go. If you're giving to the church but can't pay your bills, there's a problem there, Houston. And I also add, if you're giving to any house of worship you attend but can't pay your bills, there's a problem there, Houston, Dallas. You are on time with tithing, but you can't pay your mortgage. The question is, what are you afraid of? Is God or the universe going to beat you up? You know what I'm saying? That's true. That's true. I am happier than I've ever been. Me too. Happiness is a choice. Leaving organized relationships one of the best decisions I have ever made. Damn right for me too, Marla. I'm joining you. I join you, Marla. Not all pastors or churches are bad, however, I won't join another one, though. I agree. Not all religious leaders and not all house of worship are bad, however, I won't join them, though. I feel that way. I have no desire to attend another church. God and the universe has proven to me over and over I'm good not attending. I feel that way. I have no desire to attend another house of worship. God and the universe have proved to me over and over, I, Antonio Ramirez, am good not attending. I don't need someone who stands up high in a pulpit while I'm sitting beneath them to validate me. Agreed. I'll also say, I don't need someone who stands up high in a stage while I'm sitting beneath them to validate me. I feel that way too. Many people are void inside, so the church makes them feel important. I say, go see a therapist. Any entity that makes you feel guilty for not attending church on Sunday needs to be questioned. Something is wrong. That's how I feel. I'll also say that you can apply that to people of all the other houses of worship, too. Just keep that in mind. Your tithe in church means nothing to the world. You could be a minister in the church, but you're Cheryl the bank teller at the bank. No one cares. Sitting in the front row does not make you special. If you feel that way, you're void in an area in your life, and quote unquote, they, the ministers in the church, are very aware of that. That's true. True. And you can apply everything I'm saying to all the other houses of worship, too. I'll let that one sit right there. Doing everything your pastor does will have you broke. There's a fund for this and a fund for that, but keep on giving all to the funds, you'll be broke. Women can be in the pulpit. Many churches don't allow it, but they love God, though. I say hypocrisy. I'm saying that. I learned women are considered, quote unquote, help in the church. They're not valued as much as men. If this is you, learn to value yourself. You don't need validation. Thank you, Marla. Woo! I could say more, but I'll leave you with this quote. This is my simple religion. There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness. Yes, Marla. Yes, I agree. Now I'm going to end on this note. I'm going to say it one more time so people can understand exactly all of my religious beliefs in these statements. Here we go. I am a secularist. I am a skeptic. I am a rationalist. I am non-religious, I'm a humanist, I'm a free thinker, I am agnostic, and I do have times and moments of even atheism. Peace.